Welcome to Bridge the Gap with host Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors, powered by Markentum. If you love listening to Bridge the Gap, we have a special offer for you. Josh and Lucas will be recording live at the Interface Southeast Conference in Atlanta, August 29th. The conference focuses on the state of senior housing investment, development, operations, and financing across markets, and will provide excellent networking. If you'd like to meet Josh and Lucas and see firsthand how the podcast is created, register for Interface using promo code BTG and receive 5% off your registration.
All right, and welcome back to Bridge the Gap podcast, the Senior Living podcast. I'm here on our conference call with some very special guests this week. We have Brianna, Calista, and Emily. Hello, ladies.
Hi. Hi.
And as always, I've got my co-host, Joshua Crisps. He's nearby, but in an undisclosed location. What's up, Josh?
What's up, man? We are having fun and Bridge the Gap. We have some awesome guests with us. Can't wait to talk to them. Can't wait for our listeners to learn about what they're doing. And it's good to be with you, my friend.
Good, good, good. So at Bridge the Gap, one of our mission is to educate and inform and influence. And so that means a lot of things to the space. And as our listeners know, that we're very active on social media. We're very active on Instagram. And so I don't know how I got connected. I don't know how I started watching this, but it was something that I could not ignore. And so these ladies, Brianna, Calista, and Emily, and their band of friends have one of the most fascinating stories that I've seen in a while. So I started following their progression on Instagram, and I reached out to them and I said, we've got to have them on the show to talk a little bit about their life, what's going on with them. They're young and about to start into the workforce. And so ladies, just tell us a little bit about what is going on in your life and what started your journey of posting your stories on Instagram.
So we've lived together for the past 3 years. We all go to the same, we went to McMaster University in Canada, and we are all in the nursing program. So quickly in our first year, we all became friends and then decided, like, okay, we have to look for a house. And so we found a house together, and it was kind of, from the outside, it kind of looks pretty sketchy, but on the inside, it's like bigger than it is. Like, I don't know, it's a weird house where everyone's like, what? There's 7 people who live here. And we kind of became known just in our program among our other friends that, like, oh, we're the Norfolk Nursing Home because we're on Norfolk. And so as our end of our fourth year came along, I kind of had this idea, like, we have to do something to celebrate the fact that, like, we're graduating from school, and we wanted to go, or, like, I had a dream to go to California, and one of our other roommates was also down, and we're like, hey, like, we're going to go, but then we kind of just decided to, like, open it up and be like, hey, like, we should all go together. And people at the beginning, I think, were a little hesitant, and we're like, that's crazy, like, I don't think it's a good idea for all 7 of us to go together, like, you know, maybe we'll be friends at the end, or just something. Yeah. But eventually I was able to convince everyone to come. So we went all the way to California, saw lots of, went down through Nashville and the Grand Canyon and then up the coast of California, and made a pit stop in Yosemite for a couple nights, which is beautiful. And then came back across the top of the States. And so, yeah, and that's kind of, and then, so because we were doing this trip, it was kind of a big thing, and I know my parents always want to know everything that we do, and it's kind of hard at the end of the trip to be like, hey, this is what we did, or like, they're like, tell us about it, and you're just like, I don't know what to tell you because so much happened. So I think that was my inspiration, I think, just to start an Instagram page about us, so that, like, my parents could just follow along and be like, oh, this is what they did today, and then so at the end of the trip, they could, like, refer to photos and be like, oh, what was this about? Or, like, that kind of thing, instead of having just to be like, okay, this is our whole trip. So, like, they could, like, just be a part of it with us come along the way. So that was really fun. So we just started posting, and we kind of wanted to hype it up a bit so we could get some followers. So we did some bios at the beginning and kind of, yeah. So on the trip, I think we didn't post as much as we wanted to, but we kind of did, like, a daily thing just to like our friends and stuff. Cause even now I run into my friends who I haven't seen in a while. They're like, oh, your trip is amazing. Like it was so fun, like following you along. And then I don't have to explain. It's actually like a 10-minute conversation of like, what was my, you know, like what did we do? Cause like they already know, but it was more just like, this is my favorite part. And they already seen the highlights, which is like really cool.
That's so interesting. And so you all basically, so you're getting your nursing degrees. And so this is a trip that you plan to celebrate that whole experience of finalizing that, correct?
Yeah.
So what got you as young people starting out in the care industry, what got you interested in nursing and providing care?
Like, so like before we started school or like as we're in school, do you want to?
Yeah. I mean, what got you on that path?
So for me, my family, like my immediate family, as well as my extended family, is very involved in the health field. My dad's a doctor. I have an uncle that's a doctor and a lot of cousins that are nurses and doctors as well. And I always knew that I wanted to do something in the medical field. And then when I discovered nursing, like in grade 10, when you do that kind of thing, like civics and careers, at least we do that in Canada, I realized like how cool nursing was and how much more patient interaction you get and how much more personal it can be than some other type of work in the like healthcare field. So that like is pretty much what intrigued me, was being able to work super closely with patients, get to know them super well, but then there's also such a broad range. Like you can work with little tiny babies who are like 27 weeks gestation to people who are like 103 years old. So it's like really cool to be able to move in between different areas as well as like conditions that people have. And it's just like very broad, which is really cool for me.
Well, so Josh, I'd love to get your opinion on this, but you know, one of the biggest topics that continues to come up on our podcast and at all of the events that we go to, it's really workforce related and the labor shortage. And so the industry, the senior care industry, as well as the healthcare industry, I know is really trying to figure out a way to retain and attract new people coming out of school. Josh, how are these conversations going?
So very similar to this one, I'll tell you, I'm a Gen Xer. I'm assuming you all are millennials. Okay. And I think, a lot of the things that I hear in the industry, because I love that I'm still considered young at 38 years old in our industry. And so a lot of my peers that are much older than I am, I kind of have this negative opinion of millennials because they communicate, you guys communicate, and you grew up with technology, whereas a lot of folks that were older than me and even me, I didn't grow up with the technology you had. So I think there's a lot of things and gaps in communication between the older generation and the young generation. And I think because of that, when we don't understand people, sometimes we generally want to think negative about it. And so we have all these labor challenges, and I think people tend to give millennials an unfair shake just because they don't understand maybe that much about how you guys obtain information and how you communicate. But what I just heard from you is I heard some influence from family, but I also heard some passion to make a difference. And so one of the things that I have noticed, and you guys can tell me if this is true or not, because I'm a student, I'm learning. But one thing that I see as a pattern, and I don't like to stereotype people, but a common theme with the younger generation, let's just call it that, is that they're less concerned about a lot of the things that in our industry and in our careers as older people and older generations that have been fundamental, more interested in quality of life. We're more interested in making a difference and using what you do every day to make a difference. So what I heard through what you were just sharing about how you particularly got into this was that there was passion to make a difference and have touch points in people's lives. So I personally believe there's a ton of the younger generation that have no clue what senior living is, have no desire to be involved in it because they don't know what it is. But I think that we do a really poor job at telling our story. I know some people get offended by that, but I put myself in that category and say our industry, we don't do a good job of sharing all of our love stories, all of our good things. Mm-hmm. And I think that presents a great opportunity for us, because if you combine all the great things and all the great opportunities that there are in our industry, regardless of what field you're in, whether it's clinical or business or marketing, we have so many touch points and so many positive things that for us to be able to tap into the younger generation workforce, if we do a good job at telling our story, I think it's going to motivate a lot of the younger generation that is in school or graduating school to come out and give it an opportunity. So I'm actually really encouraged, obviously encouraged by what you all are doing. I would love to hear from the other two of you kind of what motivated you all. We all have different influences, and one influence there in the middle was family.
Yeah. For me, I'd say it's pretty similar to Calista. My family isn't in the medical profession. My mom and dad are both teachers. I don't have any like nurses or doctors in the family. But I think the big driver for me in terms of why I wanted to get into nursing was just the relational aspect of it. Like you just have, you know, so many opportunities to work with people and to kind of come alongside people and help them oftentimes at like the weakest point of their life. And I think that's what's really inspired me to love nursing so much, because over the course of our schooling, we've had so many opportunities to care for patients of all populations. So whether it's like kids, pediatrics, babies, adults or seniors, like we've had a lot of opportunity to care for senior patients as well. And it's just been really, really cool to kind of form those relationships with them and their families as well. So I know that's the big driver for me of why I love nursing so much. You know, coming into work, coming to clinical placement every day, knowing like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, maybe make a bit of a difference or a positive impact on one or two people today and brighten their day a little bit. So it's all about the little things, and I think just bringing kind of happiness and compassion and empathy and care to the workforce. So
that's awesome. So tell me before we hear from you,
Brianna.
And hear more about your story. It's interesting. Lucas found you guys from Instagram, I think. Is that right, Lucas?
Yeah.
How many other, like what other kind of feedback have you all gotten from Instagram, or are we the only crazy people that found you guys and wanted to talk about what you're doing?
I think we had just a lot of people as we're along the way kind of would comment on things and being like, oh, like looks like you're having so much fun, and just being like, oh, did you check out this place while you're there? And just kind of asking questions, but well, not a ton. But more just like after we got back, it's just been people kind of have been like, yeah, like it was so awesome watching. I had a friend tell me, she's like, I lived for your photos every day, and like I lived for your posts. And so that was just kind of fun to hear that. And she was like a friend I haven't seen in a while, so it was cool to see, yeah, that not just like my immediate friends who I see all the time, but also just like people who we kind of knew, that you run into or kind of just interested in what we were doing. And yeah, I think people were watching us to see if we potentially crash and burn, but we made it the whole way. So I think it was, I think just like positive. And I think that's everything. I mean, currently I have a million friends who are traveling right now, and you see all their photos and stuff. So I think especially this time for university students is a big travel time. So I think people, it's just like cool to see where everyone's going. And like now people are asking more about like, oh, when you went here, like what did you do? And like being like, oh, like I want to go there. And then, you know, like we're having a conversation about where they've been and what other cool places are out there to travel to and experience. So yeah.
And I think most of the people that like followed us on Instagram were like our friends and family that we knew. So in terms of that, I think you guys were the only ones that we didn't really know that showed interest in it. So it's cool to have like people that we knew, but then also like to see that like people who live so far away from us were also like following along with us. So that was also really cool.
It was cool to see like people who didn't have Instagram got Instagram to follow our trip. Like first of all, my grandpa, my grandpa, like, he just got Facebook like a year ago. And I saw like a request from him, like a follower request on Instagram. I was like, what? He got Instagram, you know, but it was just to follow our trip. And my mom, she's a teacher at a high school. And she told me after, she's like, yeah, like there were all like all these teachers that were following your adventures. And like, I had no idea, you know, so cool just to see like how news spread and yeah, how people wanted to kind of see what we were up to. So
that's so cool.
Tell us, where was the starting point, and did you guys hit the East Coast, Central, and then West?
No. So we started in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, and we went straight down to Nashville. And then after Nashville, we went across and we stayed just west of Oklahoma City for a night. And then we went to the Grand Canyon. And then we went to Joshua Tree National Park, then to LA, and then we went up like Highway 1 along the West Coast. So we hit San Francisco, Big Sur, Yosemite, and then we went into Portland, Oregon, and then we went to Glacier National Park, Yellowstone National Park, and then we just kind of drove straight home from Yellowstone back into Ontario.
And so that all took about 60 days?
16, 1-6.
1-6. So 16 days, massive, massive trip.
Yeah.
Was there any major faux pas along the way? Any flat tires, running out of gas?
I think our biggest thing was we had like a van with like flip down seats, like, you know, like how the middle row like flips down just so it's easier to get in and out of the back. And it like got stuck down and they were like, we don't have an extra seat. So like, we can't like go anywhere now because like we can't get the seat back up. And then so we had to like take it to a dealership, and I think it was a little stressful. It kind of, we had to like took like a bigger stop that we just stopped at Chick-fil-A for lunch. And now it was like, oh, now we're gonna be here for like hours. We have to like figure out. But thankfully it was like an easy fix and they got it up. And then once it was up, we're like, we're not touching it.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was that. And then also like driving through the desert with like the crazy winds, we also had like a roof rack carrier. So with the crazy winds that would like shift off. So we had like, truck drivers and like other cars, like honking at us, like waving at us. We had to like take like a detour off the road a few times to fix that. But other than that, we were pretty like, we never ran out of gas and have any flat tires, which is amazing. Yeah.
So. Very, very smooth sailing. Yeah. Which I'm surprised.
Yeah.
So, this trip is fascinating. I derailed us a little bit, you know, Brian, I didn't give you an opportunity to tell, you know, about your passion and what motivated you to get involved in the space.
Yeah. For me, I don't really know what really interested me in nursing, to be honest. I knew I liked sciencey kind of topics. And then in high school, and when I had to apply, I was like, I don't want to just like study biology for 4 years, like with no like end purpose. Like, so I don't know, nursing, someone like suggested it to me and I kind of was like, okay, like, I guess I'll apply. Like at least like I have like a job, a specific job afterwards. And then quickly, I think, into the program, I realized, like, this is for me. Like, I very much, like, enjoy interacting with people and the fact that, like, I'm up, like, moving about, like, throughout my day for the most part. And, yeah, just, I, like, what you guys have said is, like, I definitely am compassionate for people and, like, care very much for people. So just, yeah, just being able to be there for them. And, I don't know, they always seem to brighten your day in some way. And sometimes you have bad days, but it's just a really fun job if you want to be like busy, and kind of on the go. And like, I think that's something that like I very much like, so it kind of just like worked out that way.
So I have two questions, Lucas, if you don't mind, and, yeah. Whoever, all of you can answer these, but, obviously graduation is either here or about to be here. So what does the future hold for you all? And then, two, what can you give as advice? We have a variety of different types of listeners, but for those employers out there that are like, how do we attract these girls to work for us? We want that energy. We want that passion. What can we create? And what is enticing to you all when you're looking for an employment opportunity, and where are you looking for employment opportunities? So, you know, tell us what the future holds for you, if you know, and then also like how you're going about that. because I think there's a lot for us to learn into the inside of the younger generation.
Yeah. I think like a lot of us don't know exactly where we're going yet. So a lot of us, well, all of us, we're studying right now for our licensing exam. And once we have our license, then we can kind of more seriously apply for jobs. For me personally, I had my last clinical placement on the neonatal ICU unit, and that really attracted me. So kind of like the second part of your question, like what really attracted me to that floor specifically was the community aspect of the nurses on that floor. But like in comparison to that, I worked on a like seniors mental health floor, like as a job on the side, in addition to school. And like honestly, like I would work there also, and it all has to do with the staff. The staff that work there, when they're welcoming and they show interest in who you are and the work that you do and they show appreciation, that says a lot. Because I've worked at other places where people could care less, like what my name was, what I did, and they didn't show any appreciation. But as soon as the staff like come alongside of you and work with you instead of like giving you orders to do because we weren't fully registered nurses yet. But if they work alongside of you and help you, that like for me, that was like the big driver of like, I want to work here because I'm valued and the nurses show appreciation for who I am and the work that I'm doing.
That's awesome. I love that. You touched on several points and some of the general themes of what you just said that I actually wrote down. I'm taking notes because I want you and you and you all working in our communities. So showing appreciation, showing value, and I'm hearing that a lot of that is what we talk about is culture, right? So the places that are attractive is the places that are welcoming to you and show an appreciation for what you've there. And some of the things you just mentioned as examples, I think we as employers, Lucas, we think about a lot of times that we have to have some huge, robust program to attract people. And what I just heard from her is they knew my name. And they cared to call me by my name, and they weren't just bossing me. They were working alongside of me. That doesn't cost anything. Hello. You know, so that's actually encouraging. So thank you. Any other from you other ladies?
Yeah, for me personally, kind of what I'm hoping for the future, similar to Callista. So my placement, my last placement for clinical was on a pediatric department, an emergency department. And I really, really love the placement because of the patient population, but also because of the staff and the nurses in the community. And I think just reiterating like how important culture is, and it's just like that whole floor, like the physicians and the nurses and all the other healthcare professionals, just kind of felt like a big family. And like that personally was so attractive to me. Like this is a place where I want to be. It's lively, it's positive, it's a challenging and sometimes a sad environment to be in. But I think the staff and the management and the support that the staff receive is so important. The staff are happy. They're building and encouraging each other, and therefore like the patients are going to be happy and satisfied as well. So for me, that's a big thing of where I'm thinking of working. Like, what's the culture like on the floor, you know?
That's awesome. What about you, Brianne?
My last place, it was on a medicine floor, acute medicine. And I actually, at the beginning, I was very frustrated that I didn't get something like ER or something like that. But then I really enjoyed my placement, and I like learned a lot. And it was just a lot of variety of things. So I actually I'm hoping to work on something similar to that because I actually enjoyed it a lot. Just the team of people, again, like that is like the most important thing to me, and just teamwork. And I would have nurses coming up to me and being like, hey, or like, Brianna, are you okay? Like, do you need something right now? And I'd just be like, no, I'm okay. And then I could help them out later. But it was just so nice for them to like ask me if I needed help, and not just my preceptor who like it's her job to help me, but just the other people on the floor. And compared to like my other placement, they would ask about my life and like who I am as a person. Like at lunch and stuff like that, as opposed to I've been at other placements where you kind of just like sit in the break room and, you know, they're having their chit chat and all their gossip and that kind of thing. And also just the attitude of the nurses, like, I have been on placements where the attitude's just like been very negative, and it's very evident that they don't necessarily like their job, because I don't know if that's just because they don't feel supported or like they're overworked, that kind of thing. And it was just like kind of, you come back and you just kind of feel like you had a bad day, just because like you're kind of surrounded by a lot of people who are very negative or like would complain about their patient load, or certain people. And it was just, it definitely did not make me enjoy nursing more. And so I was kind of like, uh-oh, like, is this like what I'm getting myself into? But then my next placement was a lot more positive and people were happy to see each other. And it just made it the day go by so much faster when like you kind of blast out the last rounds all together as a team, instead of kind of being like, I have a million things to do, but like going around together and helping each other out was just like just a positive way. And people went home smiling instead of like all stressed and dreading having to come back tomorrow. So it was nice to see, yeah, people who actually enjoyed their jobs and like had a passion for teaching, and for like helping each other out, which was so nice.
And like also like for me, what I saw, like, sorry to continue talking, but the nurses on like the NICU could not say better things about their nursing manager. And one of my preceptors, she began working before they got their current nursing manager, and she was saying how the first one, she was scary and she was scared to go and talk to her always, but the current nursing manager was friendly and very approachable, and that was also enticing to me, because I didn't feel like, I went to talk to her and I knocked on her door, and that wasn't scary, because she was welcoming. And like the nursing manager has a huge influence, like they're the ones that decide who they want to work on their floor. So that was also a huge thing for me, was that the nursing manager on the floor.
That's awesome. Well, I have notes for those of you that may be like looking at the screen right now. So thank you all for sharing that. Lucas, I don't know about you, but I mean, I think this is great insight for, and it's relatively, you know, these are not rocket science things. These are just like treating people as you'd like to be treated, right? And dealing with team and culture, and sometimes I think unintentionally in our spaces, wherever it is, you know, whatever type of housing or programs, get so involved with the task that we forget we're in the relationship business. Mm-hmm. Not only relationship to resident, relationship to patient, and whatever you want to call that relationship, but relationship with our peers, right? So that's fascinating, ladies. Thank you for sharing your insight.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. We have Brianna, Callista, and Emily with a fascinating story. We will definitely continue to follow you ladies on Instagram. We want to keep in touch with you and figure out where you land. And we're so thankful for your time and your insights. We can tell that you guys have the right hearts. We're so glad that you're in the care business and that you are pursuing care and nursing. You're going to be a tremendous asset to all generations, which is, we may be focused on seniors, but a lot of what we talk about is connecting a lot of different generations, really all generations. So ladies, thank you so much for spending time with us today on Bridge the Gap. And we'll make sure that we connect with you in our show notes, so that if people want to reach out and ask these ladies some more questions, you can find them on Instagram and discuss with them. So thank you ladies so much for today.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, take care. Bye.
Bye.
Meet Josh and Lucas at the Interface Southeast Conference in Atlanta, August 29th. Use promo code BTG at registration and receive 5% off. Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap.